ॐ नमः प्रणवाताय शुद्धज्ञानैकमूर्तये निर्मलाय प्रशान्ताय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। निरञ्जनं नित्यमनन्तरूपं भक्तानुकम्पादृतविग्रहं वै ईशावतारं परमेश्यमीड्यं तं रामकृष्णं शिरसा नमामि। यथाग्नेर्दाहिका शक्ति रामकृष्णे स्थिता हिया सर्वविद्यास्वरूपान्तां सारदां प्रणमाम्यहम्। प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम्। मयि सर्वाणि कर्माणि सन्न्यस्याध्यात्मचेतसा निराशीर्निर्ममो भूत्वा युध्यस्व विगतज्वरः। भगवान् इस् समराइजिङ्ग् हिस् टीचिङ्ग् of karma yoga in this shloka. After describing the necessity of practicing karma yoga, after describing the utility, the benefit of karma yoga, Bhagavan now summarizes. We saw in the last class, in this shloka, five aspects of karma yoga are mentioned. Adhyatma chetasa is the first aspect. Then sarva karmani mayi sanyasya, second aspect. Nirashir bhutva, third aspect. Then nirmamoha bhutva, fourth aspect. And Vigadajwaraha, sun, is the fifth aspect. In the last class we saw the meaning of Adhyatma Chetasa. Adhyatma Chetasa means Viveka Buddhya. What is that Viveka Buddhi? What is that discrimination here necessary? The discrimination that spiritual goal alone is going to fulfill my life. And that goal alone is the ultimate goal. I can have other intermediate goals, but this ultimate goal should be kept in a shining way in my life. Without this spiritual goal, the life may be with lot of material achievements, but still, according to Shastra, according to Bhagavan, that life is going to be a waste one. Iha ched aveti atha satyam asti na ched iha aveti mahati vinashtihi. All Upanishad texts and the Smriti Shastras point out that spiritual goal alone is going to fulfill a person. Not that other goals are unnecessary or useless, but they cannot fulfill, they can give comforts. With comforts only, a person cannot hope to be happy and peaceful. Since he is struggling to be happy all the time, he should struggle positively to have this spiritual goal, to achieve this spiritual goal. That is called Adhyatma Chetas. Then second one is, once you decided that spiritual goal will be your ultimate goal, the immediate requirement is gaining chitta shuddhi, purity of mind. And purity of mind is possible only when we include Bhagavan in our day-to-day activities. So sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya, Bhagavan says here, do all your activities as Ishwarpana buddhya, as the worship of the Lord. Whatever you do, try to connect the Lord with that activity and do those activities as worship. Then third one, Nirashi Bhutva. Asha means desire or expectation or concern. Without concern with the faith in the efficacy of the teaching of Karma Yoga, receiving all the karma phalam as the prasada from the Lord, Nirashi Bhutva Sarva Karmani Kuru. All activities should be done as Ishwarpana Buddhya, and the results of our action should be received with prasada buddhi. That means readiness to accept choiceless situations in our life as prasada from the Lord. That requires character strength, that requires devotional strength, that can be developed or that can be achieved if we are sincere enough. Up to this we saw in the last class. Now the fourth aspect of Karma Yoga is Nirmamaha Bhutva. Mamatva means claiming all glories for the success in our life. If he gets success because of his efficient action, immediately the human tendency is claiming all the success for ourselves. If anything unwanted comes, immediately we blame the Lord or Vidhi or somebody. From the childhood onwards, this attitude is there. You ask a child why you have not received 90% mark, immediately child will tell, what he will tell? Teacher did not give mark. So passing the bug to the other shoulder, when that bug happened to be a problematic one, is human nature. But claiming all the good things of life as our own achievements also is a problematic one. So here Bhagavan says, Nirmamaha Bhutva Mamatva Bhavaha San. Don't claim all success to yourself. Recognize the unseen factors, hidden variables they call it, which is in the form of grace of the Lord. Therefore you should be grateful to the grace of the Lord. With that attitude, if you receive any achievement in your life, the benefit will be, you will not be carried away by that achievement. You will be more and more humble even while you get more and more achievements. There is a story in Keno Upanishad to emphasize the necessity of this Nirmamatvam. The story goes in this way. Devatas have fought a war with Asuras, keeping Indra as their leader, and they won the war. After winning that war, Indra and other devatas started claiming that we won this war. We won this war by our efficient fighting. Therefore, all the glory should go to us only. Because generally devatas win the war because of help of the Lord. This time they did not ask the help, so they might have gone directly without the help of the Lord. So they won the war. Therefore they thought, this time we won the war, so all the glory should belong to us only. So Bhagavan wanted to teach a lesson. With whomever he is affectionate, he will try to teach a lesson. So he was affectionate towards Indra. Therefore, he wanted to teach a lesson to Indra and other devatas. Whether I am involved directly or indirectly, without my grace, without my presence in your action, you can never have any achievement. He wanted to teach this lesson. So what happened? He took a form of Yaksha. Yaksha means a celestial body. So he stood near the group of devatas, not very near, not very far also. They can recognize that something is standing there, but they cannot recognize what it is. So Indra thought, I should know what it is. So he sent Agni Devata. He is the messenger. Generally, Agni Devata is the messenger of devatas. Through Agni only, we give all offerings to other devatas also. So he sent the Agni Devata to inquire who is that fellow. Then Agni Devata went there and asked, who are you? That Yaksha asked back, who are you? Tell first. I don't have any curiosity to know who are you. You only have the curiosity to know who am I. Therefore, you should tell first. So Agni Devata told, don't you know me? Just by seeing my tejas, you should have recognized my greatness. I am the Agni Devata. Then Yaksha nodded his head. Oh, is it so? What can be your glory? Then Agni Devata got irritated. Oh, you don't know my glories also? I can burn out anything in the world. Nothing can stand in front of. So Yaksha took a blade of grass and just throw in front of the Agni and asked the Agni to burn it. So Agni tried casually, just to fire a blade of grass, you don't need any effort. So casually he tried, nothing happened. With little bit force he tried, nothing happened. The grass was not getting fire. So with all force again he tried, nothing happened. So he got humiliated. So without telling any word, he went back. Devatas were waiting to know what happened. Then Agni Devata told, hey, that fellow doesn't know anything, hopeless. He is not answering me at all. Like that, he somehow managed to escape his humiliation. Because very difficult to express our humiliation to others. Then Indra sent Vayu Devata. Again, Vayu Devata went to that Yaksha, asked the same question. Yaksha replied the same question, who are you? Then Vayu Devata told, you don't know me. It's a surprise. I am the Vayu Devata. I can carry away anything in the world. Oh, is it so? The same blade of grass was there. Yaksha showed that blade of grass and told, please try to lift it. Not necessary to carry away, just lift it. So casually, Vayu Devata tried again. Nothing happened. Forcefully he tried. Nothing happened. With all force, he tried, nothing happened. So he also was humiliated. So he went to the Devata group. Then he told, that person is very mysterious person. Very difficult to know who is he. So you should go. Like that he told to Indra. So Indra was wondering, what it is? Agni Devata and the Vayu Devata could not know. Okay, let me go like that. He went. As even Indra approached that Yaksha, Yaksha disappeared. It's a great humiliation. See, somebody comes to meet you, so you are not available. That means what? You don't want to even meet him. At least the Yaksha met Agni Devata and Vayu Devata. That much qualification they had. When Indra went, Yaksha disappeared. So Indra got very much angry and humiliation. Then he prayed to Mother Parvati to know the secrecy of this Yaksha. Then Parvati came and told that it is nothing but Bhagavan. You all fellows have lot of arrogance because of victory in the war. Therefore Bhagavan wanted to teach out of compassion. So therefore he has come and he has taught you that without his presence, whomever you may be, you cannot even perform your own duties. Where is the question of getting achievements in your efforts? Therefore be humble. Like that she told. Immediately Indra asked, what is the nature of that Bhagavan? That nature of the Bhagavan is explained in that Keno Upanishad. So always we should say, whenever we achieve anything in our life, we should say, by the grace of the Lord. We should add a sentence that by the grace of the Lord, I achieved it. You tell, I achieved it. Because it is very difficult to say, Bhagavan achieved it. Because you only did everything. Bhagavan did help only in an unseen manner. So you should say, by the grace of the Lord, I achieved it. By this attitude, you can avoid getting arrogance due to successes in life. Therefore, nirmamaha bhutva. Then fifth aspect is vigata jwaraha. Shankaracharya comments, vigata santapaha san. Jwaraha means literally fever. We know our physical body gets fever. Similarly, there is a fever with regard to mind also. What it is in modern terminology, it is called stress management. Nowadays is a very popular course this. So here Bhagavan gives a technique to manage this stress. So vigata jwaraha means without any mental feverishness, with mental samatvam, equanimity, poise. How can we keep the equanimity of mind? Generally our equanimity of mind is disturbed in two ways. While acting it is disturbed, and while receiving it is disturbed. While acting as a karta, as a doer, stress comes to us when you have to do painful or an action which is not likable to you. When you have to perform a painful action or an action which is not likable to you. So for many people their own profession is a painful action, because no option, salary who will give? You cannot select a job according to your likes and dislikes. Competitions are more. Therefore only majority of the people who go for office wait for weekends. As even Friday evening comes, everybody is happy. As even Sunday evening comes, everybody will be unhappy, because next day he has to go for the same place wherein the same boss will be there. Recently I received one mail about the nature of the boss. In the first week when you appointed in a job, in the first week boss will bless you, telling that you do your duty my boy, everything will be all right. Then his expectation towards your performance will be more. So next week it was sent in a form of a cat and a mouse. Cat was blessing a mouse, telling that don't worry my boy, don't be anxious, everything will be all right, do your duty. Then next stage is, after 1 week the cat was hitting the rat. Didn't I tell you that you have to do your duty? Didn't I tell you that you have to do your duty? Like that. So expectations will be more and more. Then after 1 month the cat started slapping the face of the rat. Similarly boss also will start thrashing us. Then after 1 quarter simply cat was throwing the rat in a circle way. Similarly our office condition also like that. That's why many people don't like the job what they do. If you don't like what you do, then what is the solution? Shastra says simple solution, learn to like it. Learn to like it, learn to like what you have to do. There is no place for likes and dislikes with regard to duties. Therefore as a karta, never allow stress to overpower you. Stress comes when you have to do something which you don't like. You have to do means start liking, that's all. Then as a bhokta, stress comes when you don't get what you want to have. If karma phalam is not a likable one, immediately I get anxiety, worry and stress. So with these 5 attitudes Bhagavan says yudhyasva. All these 5 attitudes are not for meditation, it is for doing our own day to day activities. Yudhyasva, yudhyasva is the command for Arjuna, dharma yuddham kuru. For all of us it is swadharma anushtanam kuru. Why should I do swadharma? Why should I perform my swadharma, my duties? For gaining inner maturity. If all these 5 attitudes are kept, the binding aspect of that action will be absent. If Ishwara Arpana Buddhya, if the actions are offered to the Lord, you will not have any anxiety towards the performance of the action. If Prasada Buddhya, if the phalam is received, then we will not have again any anxiety. Then without any desire or concern for the particular type of desire, if you do any action, that will not bind us. Then when we receive the result, if we don't claim all the success for ourselves, we will not be disturbed by our arrogance. And finally vigada jwarahasan, without mental feverishness, if we perform our duties, we will not be disturbed. Therefore യുദ്ധസ്വ സ്വധർമ്മ അനുഷ്ഠാനം കുരു. ഇൻ ദി ഭക്തി ലിറ്ററേച്ചേഴ്സ് ദിസ് കർമ്മയോഗ ഇസ് ഡിസ്ക്രൈബ്ഡ് ആസ് ദാസഭാവ. ദാസഭാവ മീൻസ് വാട്ട്? ഐ ആം ദി സെർവൻറ്റ് ഓഫ് ദി ലാർഡ്. സെർവൻറ്റ് കെ നോട്ട് ഡിസൈഡ് വാട്ട് ടൈപ്പ് ഓഫ് വർക്ക് ഹി ഹാസ് ടു ഡു. ഓൺലി ബോസ്, ദ മാസ്റ്റർ വിൽ ഡിസൈഡ് വാട്ട് ടൈപ്പ് ഓഫ് വർക്ക് സെർവൻറ്റ് ഹാസ് ടു ഡു. സെർവൻറ്റ് കെ നോട്ട് ഡിസൈഡ് വാട്ട് ടൈപ്പ് ഓഫ് വർക്ക് ഹി ഹാസ് ടു ഡു. സെർവൻറ്റ് കെ നോട്ട് എക്സ്പെക്ട് എനി അപ്രിസിയേഷൻ ഫ്രം ദി മാസ്റ്റർ. ഇഫ് ഇറ്റ് കംസ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് നൈസ്, അതർവൈസ് ആൾസോ ഹി കെ നോട്ട് എക്സ്പെക്ട്. സോ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് കാൾഡ് ദാസഭാവ. സോ ആൾ ദി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ആർ ആസ്ക്ഡ് ടു കീപ് ദിസ് ദാസബുദ്ധി and lead his life without any anxiety, depending totally on the Lord. So Vedanta says, if you want to claim soham, soham means what? Saha aham, saha bhagavan aham asmi, aham brahma asmi. If you want to claim soham, you have to practice dasoham. Initially you have to practice dasoham. Initially you have to practice the attitude called I am the servant of the Lord. By practicing that, you will get the jnana yogyata will take you to brahma vichara. Brahma vichara will lead to brahma jnanam and ultimately moksha also. Yeme matamitam nityam anutishtanti manavah shraddhavanto nasuyantah mucyante tepi karmabihi. Bhagavan concludes his teaching by describing the advantage of following karma yoga. Bhagavan says, ye manavaha idam me matam nityam anutishtanti. Those people who always follow this my teaching. Me matam means what? മമ ഈശ്വരസ്യ മതം. മമ മതം, മേ മീൻസ് മമ, മമ മീൻസ് ഈശ്വരസ്യ. ഭഗവാൻ ഡസൻറ്റ് ടാക്ക് ആസ് മിസ്റ്റർ കൃഷ്ണ, ഹി ടാക്സ് ആസ് ഈശ്വര. സോ വേർ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ടോൾഡ് ഹിസ് മതം, വേർ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ടോൾഡ്? ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് ടോൾഡ് ഇൻ ദി ശാസ്ത്രം, ഇൻ ദി വേദ. കർമ്മയോഗ ഈസ് മെൻഷൻഡ് ഇൻ ദി പൂർവഭാഗ ഓഫ് ദി വേദ. സോ ദോസ് പീപ്പിൾ ഹു ഓൾവേസ് ഫോളോ മൈ ടീച്ചിങ്, what is the benefit he is going to tell afterwards? He doesn't expect perfection in following, but he expects sincere effort on our part. So what are the signs of sincerity? He says shraddhavantaha, with total understanding of the efficacy of this teaching. Shraddha means, I already told, not mere faith. Shraddha, the Sanskrit word, is translated in the books as faith. It is not faith. It is a recognition, it is an understanding of the efficacy of the Shastra Pramanam, the understanding of the efficacy of this teaching. What is the teaching? Shastra says, you practice Pancha Mahayajna or you do all your duties without harming others as the worship of the Lord. What is the benefit of karma yoga? Shastra assures the benefit, inner maturity as the benefit, spiritual growth as the benefit. But spiritual growth is not tangible. If you grow in wealth, that growth is tangible. Immediately one flat you can purchase from MG Road, one Mercedes Benz car you can purchase. So those material growth is tangible, but this is inner growth. Therefore it is subtle. Therefore you need shraddha. You need a conviction that Shastra can never tell a lie. Shraddha in the teachings of the Shastra is very, very important. Recognition of the fact that manushya buddhihi does not have the capacity to verify Ishvara buddhihi. What is that shraddha? Manushya buddhi. Manushya buddhi means my mind doesn't have the capacity to understand Ishvara buddhi, Bhagavan's mind. Ishvara buddhi means Bhagavan's mind. So I cannot have any access to that mind, any access to that Shastra teaching. therefore I have no other option than accepting it. Recognition of the fact that spiritual growth alone can give me fullness, happiness, which I seek always. Shraddha means recognition of the fact that any amount of material achievements cannot make me happy and satisfied. Shraddha means recognition of the fact that Shastra Pramanam is the Antima Pramanam. It is the final word which we can never refute. Shastra says, for example, Na Vittena Tarpaniyaha. Money will not satisfy you. This is the statement in the Kathopanishad. Can we refute it? Can we say, no, money can satisfy? We can never refute it. If you want to have a proof that money can never satisfy, you have to go to billionaires and ask them whether they are satisfied. They will tell, your list is small list, my list never ending. Even I can write my agenda, book after book, this project, that project, this project. If it is over in India, I will go to USA, in USA over means China, I will go like that. Never ending project that will be. Then Shastra says, Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu. Anything which is born will die. That is the teaching, one of the teachings. Can we refute it? Anything which is born will go, will perish one day. Whether it is this body or house or anything, whatever we gain, will perish. Then Shastra says, Api sarvam jivitam alpameva. Can we refute it? All lives end with finitude. There is an end for all types of lives. Whether it is a life of tortoise, 400 years, or it is a life of an ant. All lives end at one time, alpameva. Then Shastra says, Satyameva jayate. Even though we are not able to understand that, we cannot refute it. The success is for those people who follow the rules of life. It says, Dharmo rakshati rakshitaha. Dharma protects you when you protect your dharma. Then Shastra says, these are all with regard to our day-to-day life. With regard to our real nature, Shastra says, Tadutvam asi. You are that reality sustaining the entire creation. You cannot refute all these revelations, but Shastra refutes all our knowledge. Shastra refutes all our knowledge. We find that we have an idea that we are going to live eternally. That's why we try to live eternally. With that hope, all the medical treatment this way, that way, somehow or the other, selling all the properties, we go for treatment for what? We want to live eternally. But Shastra says you cannot do that. You cannot hope to do that. So, our mind says that you are an individual. Shastra negates it. You are not an individual. You are an all-pervasive entity. Like in the last class, I think in Bhagavatam class I told this. What is the proof that you are human being? Shastra asks. This person says, since I have human body, I am human being. It sounds nicely, na? Since I am having human body, I am human being. Shastra immediately says, how can you say that? If you have a dog, will you claim yourself as dog? Just because you have human body, how can you say you are human being? So Shastra negates our knowledge, negates our notions. But we can never negate the Shastric revelations. This Shraddha is very, very important. This recognition of the intrinsic defects of our sense organs. Sense organs cheat us. There is nothing called sunrise, but every day sense organ eyes are showing to us there is a sunrise. Science has refuted. There is nothing called like sunrise. There is nothing called blue sky. There is nothing called static earth. But sense organs cheat us. So we have to recognize that our sense organs and mind cheats us. And you have to recognize Shastra, or the teachings of the Shastra, is the ultimate teaching wherein we cannot find even one mistake from it. That is the glory of Shastric teaching. That is called Shraddhavantaha. Then Anasuyantaha. Anasuyantaha means without finding fault in the teachings of Shastra. Asuya means Paraguneshu Dosha Avishkaranam. Paraguneshu Dosha Avishkaranam. You superimpose some defect on a person with whom that defect is not at all there. Because of your jealousy, because of your arrogance, you superimpose. It is not there. It doesn't have that defect at all. But still, you find fault with his behavior and you say that you told like this, it is wrong like that. That person will say, I never meant it. I did not tell with that idea. So that is called asuya, intellectual arrogance, which says, I know everything and you are wrong. This is called asuya. As long as this attitude of finding fault is there, you cannot gain knowledge. You cannot gain knowledge from the scriptures. Like a proofreader, if you are like a proofreader reads text. With what intention he reads the text? Not to learn from the text, but to find out where all the mistakes are there. It is nice for a proofreader, but it is not nice for us. Therefore, you cannot learn or you cannot gain knowledge if you have proofreader's mind. Anasuya means a disposition of mind which doesn't reject the teaching at the beginning itself. As even it says, immediately you reject. A mind which questions its own preparation and its own capacity rather than rejecting the validity of the teaching. So any knowledge generally, any knowledge comes when three aspects are fulfilled. What are they? One is the knower, pramata we call. Another is an object of knowledge, prameyam. Third one is pramanam, source of knowledge. If knower is absent, say for example, I want to know what color this cloth is. There is a pramanam called eyes and there is a knower, I am available, and the cloth also is available. If I am in angry mood, not available for gaining this particular knowledge, even though my eyes show that it is yellow, it will not register in my mind. My mind is somewhere else. So pramata is not available there. And prameyam, if prameyam, that is the object of knowledge, doesn't exist at all, like rabbit horn. There is no rabbit horn. If prameyam is absent, then also knowledge is not possible. Then pramanam, if eyes are defective, color blind, I cannot know, even if my eyes show it, but I cannot know what type of color actually it is. In the case of self-knowledge, prameyam is what? Atma. Myself, it is I, the knower, ever available. Pramanam is Shastram, verified by millions of Mahatmas. If I don't get knowledge, what does it mean? There is no possibility of defect with regard to Prameyam Atma. There is no possibility of defect in Pramanam Shastram, but there may be a possibility of defect in the Pramata, in my own mind. This Shraddha, this humility is called Anasuya. So self-knowledge does not take place when there is a defect in the Pramata's mind. If you are a humble person, you will not reject the Prameyam. So many people reject the Prameyam. Prameyam means what? Bhagavan. Many people say there is no Bhagavan. What is their argument? Because I have not seen him. You have not seen your own mind also. Can you say that you don't have mind? You have not seen your anger. Can you say that you don't have anger? So, false logic, these are all. Because of arrogance, intellectual arrogance. So they reject the Prameyam. Then they reject the Pramanam, Shastram also, because of their intellectual arrogance. If you have that humility, then you will question your own mind, whether my mind is prepared for this knowledge. Therefore, Bhagavan says, never reject the teaching by falsely finding fault with it, even if you don't understand and even if you are not convinced about it. Shastram says, na vittena tarpaniyaha. None of us is convinced. Money will not satisfy. None of us are convinced. But we won't reject it. We will try to understand what does it mean. So, Atma Vidya happened to be the subtlest knowledge. Understanding and getting convinced requires lot of mental maturity. In the absence of those mental maturity, naturally, I will not gain the knowledge. That doesn't mean that Atma is not there. That doesn't mean that Shastram is wrong. Bhagavan says, question your own maturity. Very difficult to accept the Shastric teachings. If you find entire Vedanta, only three statements it says as the essence of all its teaching. What are they? Brahma Satyam, Jagat Mithya, Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha. Shastra says, Jagat, Jagat means this world, is unreal. World is unreal. How can I accept? All the time I am transacting with this world only. All the time I am transacting with these people. How can I accept world is unreal? Then second statement says, Brahma Satyam. Bhagavan or Brahman or consciousness is real. I never come across that Bhagavan in market or in my house or in my office. Never. How can I accept that Bhagavan is Satyam? What I see all the time tangibly, Shastra says it is not there. What I never see, Shastra says it is there always. Then third one is, Jivaha Brahma Iva Naparaha. That is third bomb, biggest bomb. Jivaha Brahma Iva Naparaha. You are Bhagavan. How can I accept? All the time I find myself as an idiotic, useless, troublesome, irritative, angry, emotional, lacking individual. But Shastra says, you are the Ananda Sarupaha. You are the embodiment of happiness. You are the embodiment of security. You are the embodiment of calmness and peace. I know that I don't have all those things. But Shastra says, you are that. So how can I accept? If the seeker is an humble person, he will not reject this immediately at the first stroke itself. He will probe into that and try to understand what actually it means. So gaining self-knowledge requires tremendous preparation, tremendous intellectual humility and great patience and never exhausting enthusiasm. All these four are very, very important. Patience, humility, then preparation, and then never exhausting enthusiasm. If you reject the teaching at the very first attempt itself, you cannot hope to gain self-knowledge. And that self-knowledge alone is going to be the only possible solution. You try any other method, you will come back. Shastra declares and what you call challenges humanity. You try any other method to solve your problem, it will be like allopathic medicine. You go to a doctor with a complaint that you have a headache or fever. He gives one tablet. So fever goes, what comes? Stomach trouble comes, because he gave antibiotic tablets. So again you go to stomach trouble to solve. He gives another medicine and it ends in rheumatism or liver failure, something. So you can never solve the problem totally by any other method. Gaining knowledge about my higher reality happened to be the only solution. This is called Shraddha. This recognition is called Shraddha. By rejecting Shastram and its teaching, there will be no loss for Shastra, nor for Lord. Bhagavan doesn't require our acceptance for his teaching. If we accept and follow and are pursue patiently with humility, we are going to be benefited. Like a person says, I will not accept whatever my eyes show. Suppose a person says, whatever my eyes show, he has found eyes are defective. There is no blue sky, eyes are showing. There is a blue sky. There is no mirage water, so eyes show that there is a mirage water. There is no static earth, eyes show there is a static earth. Taking all these small, small defects, if he decides, so whatever my eyes show, I will not believe. Who will be the loser? The person will be the loser. He loses the entire world of forms and colors. Therefore, Bhagavan here says, E manavaha, shraddhavantaha, anasuyantaha, nityam anutishtanti idam me madam. Those people who are intelligent enough to recognize the greatness of the Shastric teachings and who doesn't have intellectual arrogance, who are humble enough, because of that they follow my teaching. Te api karmabhihi muchyante jivan muktaha bhavanti. What is the result of following his teaching? Bhagavan says, they also will be freed from bondage. They will be jivan muktaha, free people while living. Practice of karma yoga, the person gets yogyata prapti, then yogyata prapti leads to jnana vichara, then jnana prapti, then moksha. Kramene te api muchyante. Here Bhagavan uses the word te api. Api means what? They also. Why you should say they also? You should have told they will get. Because here in the context he was talking about sannyasins also. So sannyasins are jnana yoginaha, those people who have not gone through this karma yoga marga in this life, who have taken to sannyasa marga directly and who have taken to jnana vichara directly, they are going to get liberation. But don't think that you will not get it, you also will get it, even if you take to the path of action. That is the idea here. Bhagavan continues,
Ete tadabhyasuyantaha nanutishtanti mematam sarvajnana vimudhanstan vidhinashtan achetasaha.
In this shloka, Bhagavan points out the loss of not following karma yoga. In the previous shloka, he pointed out the benefit of following karma yoga. In this shloka, he points out the loss of not following karma yoga. He uses certain strong words. Whenever he condemns very strongly, not out of hatred, but out of concern. As a father, as a parent of all the jivas, father naturally will have a concern towards his happiness. Therefore, Bhagavan here, with a hope, at least after hearing this warning, they will come back to the right way of life. So here he says, Yetu, on the other hand, those who are etat me matam abhyasuyantaha, those who are hypercritical, those who find fault with my teaching. Why they find fault with your teaching? Bhagavan says, achetasaha. Achetasaha means they are unintelligent people, they are idiots. In simple English, he calls them as idiots. They are avivekinaha, unintelligent people who are not able to think about the necessity of disciplined life. Because if animal doesn't know the necessity of disciplined life, it is natural, because it doesn't have the discrimination power. But human being also doesn't know the necessity of discipline, means it is unnatural. What must be natural for us? Naturally we should find the necessity of disciplined life, but there are some people all the time that they don't find the necessity of discipline. They are not able to appreciate, or they are not able to find out the greatness of practice of karma yoga. How nice it is, all these attitudes you keep. You can fight war also, but still you will not be unhappy. Happily you will fight, happily you will kill, like a play it will be. But still these people who are unintelligent, they are not able to find out that necessity. neither they are able to learn from their life's experience, nor they are able to learn from the Vedic teaching. In Tamil they will say, தனக்கும் தெரியாது சொன்னாலும் புரியாது மாப்பிள்ளைக்கு. ஃபார் அவர் மாப்பிள்ளை மீன்ஸ் இன் இங்கிலீஷ் சன் இன் லா, நெய்தர் ஹி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்ஸ் பை ஹிஸ் ஓன் இன்டெலிஜென்ட், நார் ஹி லேர்ன்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் அவர் அட்வைஸ். சிமிலர்லி இஸ் மாப்பிள்ளை யர் ஆல் சன் இன் லா. பகவான் ஸ்கோல்ஸ் எஸ் ஜாமாதா தசமோ கிரகா, ஒன் சன்ஸ்கிருத வேர்ட் இஸ் தேர். ஜென்ரலி நவகிரகாஸ் ஆர் ஹோல்டிங் தி ஹியூமன் லைஃப்னா, த ஜாமாதா ஹேப்பன் டு பி 10th graha. So problematic people, because of this avivekaha, because of this intellectual cholesterol it is called, nothing works. However much you tell, nothing works. They are sarvajnana vimudaha. Very strong word he uses, vimudaha, sarvajnana vimudaha, utterly deluded with regard to all types of knowledge. In Shastra, there are two types of knowledge. Generally, knowledge is categorized as two types, paravidya, aparavidya. Knowledge about our real nature is called paravidya. Knowledge about the transactional world is called aparavidya. That means dharma, dharma is called aparavidya. They don't know what is dharma and what is adharma, nor they know what is atma and anatma. So therefore, sarvajnana vimudhaha, confused at all levels of knowledge. Every human being, as we saw earlier, every human being has five types of debt: Pitru Runam, Deva Runam, Rishi Runam, Nara Runam, Bhuta Runam. Obligation towards the forefathers. They have protected us when we are children. So it is our duty to protect them if they are alive, or at least to be grateful for their love. That obligation is there. Then Devarinam. So many devatas, they are presiding over all the universal laws. They only give lot of things. They arrange to give us rain, they give us oxygen. So I have debt towards them, these devatas. It is called Devarinam. Then Rishirinam, beautiful teachings of life is given by the rishis, great rishis. I have debt towards them. Then Nararinam, society is helping me to be happy and peaceful. If the society is Taliban society, what will do? You cannot hope to have satsanga like this. So towards the society you have an obligation. Then Bhutarinam, entire universe or cosmos helps you in one way or the other way. You have an obligation. Simple common sense is enough to understand the necessity of this obligation, but due to delusion, due to extreme desires, he is not able to know about his obligation. He expects help from all these sources. He expects help from Bhagavan. He expects help from all the sadhus or rishis. He expects help from society, but he is not ready to fulfill his own obligation. He wants to be only a beneficiary. He doesn't want to be a contributor. Therefore, sarvajnana vimudha. They are utterly deluded. Why this delusion? One says, force of selfish desires make them to be utterly unconcerned about their obligation. Therefore, etat me matam na anutishtanti. They don't follow my karma yoga teaching. They don't follow pancha maha yajna in their life. Not following is very very easy. Simply lying down is very very easy. Not doing puja is very easy. Not getting up early in the morning is still very very easy. Getting up early in the morning only problem. So not living a disciplined life is very easy. Living a disciplined life only requires certain effort from our side to follow one particular moral value. Satyam vada, you take a vow, 1 week I will tell only truth. Then you will see lot of problems will be created in your house, because so far you have told so many lies. So you remember all the lies, then accordingly you have managed that lie, another lie, another lie, accordingly. So when you start telling the truth, then all the lies become known, then lot of problem will be there. So following moral values demands certain payment in the form of reduction of our selfish desires. So what is the loss of not following karma yoga? Bhagavan here says, tan nashtan iti vidhi. It's a very very strong word. He says they are lost in their life. See, if Bhagavan himself says you are lost, where can we go? Here Bhagavan says a person who doesn't follow karma yoga is a lost person. He is lost. Kaivita case. Doctor says kaivita case. Kaivita case means given up case. Give telegram to all the relatives. If one doctor says, we can hope to go to another doctor. So entire doctors association says, suppose given up case, what you will do? Again one more doctor is there for us, we will go to temple. If that doctor also says kaivita case, given up case, what will do? Here he says, I can point out to a person that you are given up case if you don't follow karma yoga. Tan nashtan iti vidhi. Know this, indiscriminate and confused people as lost people. Shankaracharya writes, purushartha ayodhyaha bhavanti. They are the losers with regard to spiritual growth and with regard to even worldly happiness. How can you say, if I don't follow karma yoga, I will lose worldly happiness? Naturally, the question comes. So Shastra says, you may gain wealth and comfort, but you cannot be happy with that wealth and comfort. There is an English poem, money can give comfort, but money cannot give happiness. Money can give friends, but money cannot give friendship. Money can give people, money cannot give love. Something like that, one big poem is there. So wealth can give external things, but it cannot make us happy. Even to enjoy worldly achievements, you need a relatively calm mind. Relatively, the mind should be calm. Since he has not followed karma yoga, all the actions will bring negative reactions. Desires makes him to do more actions. More actions means more results. More results means more reactions. Because results are not under our control. We cannot demand particular type of result. So more action means more results. More results means more reactions. Again, more reactions means more attempt. More desires. So, to fulfill their desires, they are ready even to throw away all ethics and morals. The consequence will be conflicts. Conflict not only with the external world. What is our attitude towards the world? I versus entire world, isn't it? That's why we have fear. I versus entire world. Entire world wants something from me. I want something. So, I am not ready to give it what world wants. World also doesn't want to give it happily what I want. Therefore, it will be a one versus entire world. So, conflict not only with the external world, with himself also. Because he has violated lot of moral and ethics values, he has violated in the pursuit of fulfillment of desire. He has violated. To avoid these mental conflicts only, what we do? What we do? General method is what? Escapist method. That's why you go and ask anybody who goes to drinking place, go and ask. They'll just mind trouble, Swami. Just I want to be free from that trouble. Escapist method. Drug addiction, going to cinema. 2.5 hours you forget all your worries when you see cinema. Then just as even you are coming out of the cinema theater, then problem says, hey, you have not solved me, I am here, you solve me. You cannot escape from me. So conflicts are there. To avoid the conflicts, he goes for evil habits. Due to that evil habit, his mental strength is going down. He becomes more and more weaker. So then, with that weak mind, he cannot face the conflicts. So conflicts makes him to go to evil habits. It's a vicious cycle. Therefore, they are the losers. They lose themselves to buy comforts. That's what Shastra says. Lose yourself in the pursuit of buying comfort. It is like after losing your eyes, you want to buy what? Telescope. Then I ask, why you want to have a telescope? He says, I want to see the sunlight. In that way, நாஸ்தி புத்திஹி அயுக்தஸ்ய நசாயுக்தஸ்ய பாவனா நசாபாவயன சாந்திஹி அசாந்தஸ்ய குதஸ் சுகம். பகவான் அசாந்தஸ்ய குதஹா சுகம், மைண்ட் இஸ் நாட் பீஸ்ஃபுல் அண்ட் காம், வேர் இஸ் தி க்வெஸ்சன் ஆஃப் ஹாப்பினஸ். சோ இட் இஸ் எ பேட் பார்கெயின். வாட் இஸ் தட் பேட் பார்கெயின்? லூசிங் மை செல்ஃப் இன் ஆர்டர் டு கெட் certain comforts, certain wealth. But they are not able to see this loss. They are not able to see that losing integrity, losing peace and happiness while rushing to buy the comforts, they are not able to see that loss. So in the second chapter, Bhagavan pointed out all these. Dhyayato vishayan pumsaha sangasteshu upajayate sangasanjayate kamaha kamatru anartha parambara, it is called. Then finally that parampara comes with the end buddhi nashaha. Then what is the end? Buddhi nashaha pranashyati. Same nashtan vidhi only was talked there in the form of pranashyati. Indiscrimination leads to destruction, because this is the one faculty which is the cause of our happiness or sorrow. This is the discrimination faculty. If it is used properly, it gives us happiness. If it is not used properly, it becomes the source of our sorrow. For a human being, power of discrimination is a gift of the Lord. Leading life according to discrimination must be a natural one. But extreme desires stifle this power of discrimination and makes human being to lose the game of life. He has lost one more golden opportunity. For what? One more golden opportunity to find out the solution for his cycle of birth and death. Durlabham trayam edat deiva anugraha etukam manushyatvam mumukshutvam mahapurusha samshayah. All jivas don't get this human body. All jivas don't get the idea of freedom. All jivas don't get guidance also. Even after getting all these three things, if a person doesn't try to follow the teachings of the Veda or Karma Yoga, then he will be tan nashtan vidhi. Shastra says, iha cheta veti ata satyam asti na chediha veti mahati vinashti. Great loss it will be. In another Upanishad says, saha kripanaha, is a miser or is a wretched person. He has not used the faculty called discrimination, which was a gift from the Lord. Therefore Bhagavan concludes his Karma Yoga teaching with a condemnation of people who are so much desirous, who are refusing to fulfill their obligation towards the entire creation. More details you will see in the next class. கிருஷ்ணாய வாசுதேவாய ஹரயே பரமாத்மனி பிரணதக்லேஷநாசாய கோவிந்தாய நமோ நமஹ.